This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the result, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app. You can also get rewards points delivered too, so that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants, 18 plus, rewards registration required. Points only on menu items. Delivery fee and terms apply. See McDonald's.com.
Welcome again to Cottage Talk. I'm Russ Goldman. Joining me right now is Yanis Shenaeus. This is our preview show of Fulham versus Tottenham Hotspur at Craven Cottage on Thursday. Yanis, this is a huge match now for Fulham. And let's not waste any time. We're going to do about 30, 35 minutes previewing this upcoming match. I'm going to just start with you here. Just thoughts on Tottenham Hotspur heading into this match.
We don't like them, do we?
No. No, to be honest with you, I'm not a big fan of Tottenham Hotspur. Just never have been.
No, they played very well against Burnley on.
They did
on Sunday. Although Burnley gave them a head start with that, you know, sleepy Bale goal about 10 seconds in, and Burnley just couldn't play catch up. You saw. I was watching the game today against Leicester City, and thinking about.
Yeah, Burnley, I watched it too.
Yeah, and when they score first, they're really difficult to break down. Leicester went great tonight, but Burnley just seemed to fall apart. But the beauty was you saw this, you know, these glamorous headlines, Gareth Bale is back.
Yes.
You know, 600. He earns more in 1 week than I do in 10 years. I mean, really. He should be building stadiums with his pinky for that much money. But he's back. Obviously, you got Kane and Son in there and Dembele, yep. And they played very well. But this is going to be an interesting challenge, very different from the Palace game where Palace, wanted us to fall asleep.
And that's right.
The question is, will Mourinho have learned the lessons of letting the animals loose from the cages and let them loose, or will he be leery of the game away where basically the hitters with the counters, a fantastic goal by Kane. And then our friend Caballero scored a header to equalise. So it's going to be a good game. And
that's right.
The result sort of Sheffield United winning tonight. And, Newcastle in free fall and Southampton in free fall and Brighton in free fall. This is a chance for us to get three vital points.
I totally agree, Yanis. I'll give my prediction in just a bit. But I'm actually feeling pretty good about this match. And part of it has to do with what I'll be talking about in just a second. But before we do that, let's focus on Mourinho, because I think this is also going to factor into this match. Like you just mentioned, what will he do? And what will Parker do? So what are your thoughts on Mourinho? Because I actually did a video just a little bit for a YouTube channel that talks about Spurs, and I got some blowback because I was negative on Mourinho. Well, I think Mourinho plays negative. So have you seen any changes since the first time the teams played? We're going to talk about the first matchup, but do you still see Spurs playing similarly, or do you see any differences?
Well, I think Mourinho would be really good at transporting kids to school because he parks buses most games. It was funny watching Tottenham on Sunday because it was let the hounds loose, and I think I'm only convinced, but that I believe only happened because they scored 2-3 goals early. I think it would have been the same old. They've got all that talent. And I don't know if you caught And I think a lot of viewers or listeners would have caught the interchange between Jamie Redknapp and Harry and Roy Keane at the weekend.
I heard some talk about it, but I did not hear it.
If you go onto YouTube, it's well worth watching because Roy Keane's point, Jamie Redknapp's point is that he thinks that Tottenham have the potential to be a great side in top four. And Roy Keane fundamentally disagreed. And one of the points that Roy made that I thought was really, really intuitive, Jamie Redknapp said, well, Tottenham's full of international players. To which Roy said, well, just because you're an international player doesn't mean you're any good. And I thought about it. Okay, well, yes, because, of course, at Fulham, we have, with the international break, we're used to players going off and doing their right thing to play for their countries. But then you think of some of the players that have played for us who were international players, and you go, well, were they very good anyway? So I think of someone like Zverev.
I remember, yeah.
Rafik Halish, you know.
They were international players.
They were international players. I mean, you know, nowadays you can get a game for San Marino if you've got at least one leg. So I thought that was it was very interesting. It was pretty strong back and forth. And, you know, Tottenham have a tremendous amount of talent, but he's so conservative in terms of the way he approaches it. So he'll be delighted with the win over Burnley because they're tricky. But how does he approach playing us? Is he going to go, okay, Gareth, Song, Harry, go?
Right.
Or is he going to go, well, see how it goes? Because if first 10, 15 minutes and nil-nil,
yep,
he's gonna say, right, we're going to try and take you on the counter-attack. We've got a smaller stadium. We know the dimensions.
Yep.
We're playing well. And I like him as a person. I don't like his style. I think he's got more talent than he knows what to do with. And frankly,
that it has more to do with him than it does his teams?
Yeah, he's a megalomaniac. He's good. I mean, he's good for the game. He's good for a soundbite and he's good for a laugh. But they're what, 9th, 10th in the division?
Yeah.
I mean, Harry Kane is one of the best strikers on the planet.
Oh, hands down. And,
Son is a brilliant player. Bale, I'm glad to see he's getting his feet back. But a lot of talent, and it's a bit like Arsenal. You look at Arsenal, you go, well, you know, let's call it the way it is. It's mid-table. It's mid-table. Right. Mid-table mediocrity. So, you know, he even in the week he said something about, you know, I want to be remembered because I did great things for Tottenham. Well, you've not won anything yet.
Nope.
You have not. I mean, Arteta won 2 trophies last year. It was Jose.
I think he was brought there to win trophies. And right now, we'll see. You know, again, I mean, that's the issue with him going. You know, it's funny. We did a prior show with my friend Kevin. And, you know, it's funny because Kevin, host of the EPL Roundtable, he wanted to join us. He just couldn't join us today, unfortunately. And he actually said to me, Giannis, because I know he enjoyed doing the show, he wants to do another show, so he wants us to stay in the league so he can do another show with us. He absolutely could not do the show tonight. But I remember him being very critical of Mourinho.
And it's funny you mentioned, and my apologies off the bat now because you mentioned Kevin. I was going to say something about the story about Kevin McDonald, Captain Kevin.
Oh, yes.
Yes, and you know, thoughts are with him. And
absolutely, I should have started by talking about Kevin McDonald.
Yeah, I mean, it's he's done. I mean, he's, you know, he's obviously drifted out of the lineup sometime last year, but he scored vital goals for us, did a job for us. He's not Premier League quality anymore, but there are always mitigating circumstances that can contribute to that. And we find out he's been ill, and you know, everybody that you see on the media, even Mourinho mentioned him in the presser today.
Yeah.
And,
absolutely.
His respect for him because his boy went through the academy at Fulham.
Yep.
And just hoping for the best because he's obviously he's a quality guy. And he's done
absolutely
at Fulham, and which is great. But I think that Mourinho, you know, Pep has gone out and Pep has walked the walk, talk the talk.
Yep.
Kloppy has done it. Brendan Rodgers has done it to an extent, but with less resources. But Mourinho with Tottenham, I think are underachieving. And call me Nancy if it isn't so.
Okay, very good there, my friend. All right, let's get into one final thing, and I'm glad that you brought up Kevin McDonald because, again, I'm just glad that he came out, you know, and came out publicly and talked about it. It's a difficult subject, and I I should have started the show by mentioning it. So thoughts and prayers with you, Kevin. And I just hope everything goes well for you. You're a good guy. You are a great Fulham player. And I'll say the word great from that time. Yeah. You were great for the club. And you, as you said in the interview, Fulham's your club too. And you'll be remembered as a Fulham player. You'll be remembered your time in other places, but Fulham fans will always remember you. And we just wish the best for you. So I'm glad that you mentioned that, Giannis. Okay.
Amen to that.
Let's move on. And this is where I want to focus next before we really break down this match, because I think this is a place where one of the reasons why I'm feeling good about this upcoming game, the first match between these two teams. Giannis, I went back and I watched highlights of the match that was just a little while ago. It wasn't that long ago. And I'm going to say it. Fulham had an opportunity to win this match, not just get a point. They got a point. But there were times during this match where I'm thinking, you know what? Maybe they should have done better. And it actually gives me hope coming into this match, because I'm hoping that Scott can look at this, learn from it, take what he's learned, and apply it for the players in this upcoming match. Because I think there's an opportunity here, not just to get a point, but beat Spurs. What did you learn from this first matchup between these two teams?
Well, I thought we played – it was similar to the game against Palace, but a little longer. The first 8-9 minutes against Palace at home, we played well, and then they hit us with Riederwald, and then that was the end of the show. And I thought we did a good job going at them at their ground, and then there was that absolutely brilliant counter-attacking goal with the headed goal from – Kane, which was just world class, superb. But we didn't hang our heads. We kept going, and we kept fighting. And the one thing I think that Scott has instilled into the players is it doesn't matter. You can look at names in a team sheet, and you can see them out there, and you can be envious. Yep. But the fact is, you can compete with anyone you want. And if you control the mechanism every time you cross the white lines. If everybody does their job, then we're capable of competing with most, if not all, teams in the division. And I thought the comeback, I mean, it was super. It was unlikely to sort that it was going to be Caballero to get the goal, but I thought we had chances to win that. And I thought
that's right.
We seem, we're unbeaten in 7 away from home, and I think we've looked very comfortable away from home. And I, sometimes it's we bemoan the lack of fans, but for some players, not having fans in the stands has been a great thing. I mean, case in point, last year, if you look at Everton, Calvert-Lewin got a lot of stick from the Evertonians last year.
That's right.
But this year, with no fans, he's just seems to have taken off, because there seems to be less pressure on a lot of players and they're performing. So I thought we played well in that game, and I don't see anything in their lineup that should scare us, providing we keep it tight first 10-15. If we don't, they'll come in waves, but if we do, we plant a few seeds of uncertainty, and I think we've got enough to take them on the counter. And I think it's going to be a good game. I think the memories of what happened earlier in the season with the COVID thing as well.
Yes.
Scott, he's not forgotten that. Don't think for a moment he's forgotten that nonsense about, well, but, you know, we're not Spurs. We don't have the resources. You look at our bench and you can just say, holy crap. I mean, there's not a lot there, is it really?
Yeah, I heard criticism today on like this YouTube video and some of the comments going back and talking about that, basically complaining of why we were not willing to play that match. And again, Fulham players got COVID, and honestly, Tottenham players could have had it if they played that match that day. So, are you? You know, again, I understand that you want to see your team play, Giannis. I get all that. But the right decision was made not to play that game that day.
Well, any of the Tottenham supporters who think that we were trying to do something conniving of village idiots, and you can quote me on that. The simple reason that the reason you don't have fans in the stands right now is because you don't want to compromise the safety of fans in the stands.
That's right.
It's a national government plan that was made out, and every single club is going through it right now. It is what it is. The fact of the matter is, you've got players. Many clubs have been really struck down by COVID. It's a nasty, nasty virus. It's killed obviously many, many people, and it can hit you. There's no, in many ways, it's like cancer, because it's non-discriminatory. So If the safety protocols were such that we didn't have enough players to play that Wednesday because it was in consultation with local health officials, that's it. The idiots out there that think there was something, shut up and stick your head down a toilet full of turds. Because at the end of the day, if a player dies because of this, then what are you going to do? You can say, oh, no, what was done, what wasn't done. We're seeing it in basketball. We're seeing it in hockey. We've seen it in cricket, in bubbles. It's happening all around the world. And we're not there. We miss it. But we can't compromise the safety of the player. So
exactly.
The right one. Yeah.
And, you know, I saw the criticism and I just thought to myself, I don't get it because, again, player safety first. It was the right decision. And if you're upset that your team only got a draw against Fulham, you should be more upset about your team than the Fulham
players.
And Scott Parker, you should be upset at them, not at Fulham, because, again, the right decision was made. They were putting everyone first, safety first. That should be the number one thing. And I'm glad I'm glad that we're talking about that, Giannis, because I was a little bit surprised that even today I saw comments on that. Okay, coming up next, Giannis and I break down this match, and we will predict it at the end of the show. Okay, Giannis, let's start here. I think I know the answer to this because I'm going to say it for you. I think it has to be Son and Kane, right? But who else? Because again, we can always point at them. But are there other players that concern you? Because I think that's usually the starting point.
They've got a lot of weapons, but they've got a couple of potential Achilles heels. I mean, Son, of course, Kane, world class, 27 years of age. I don't know how much. If any Spurs fans are watching this, you better enjoy him while you can, because a year from now he's going to be gone. If he's got any sense, he'll go to a top club. He won't be staying at Spurs, not for any time soon. Bale's going to be gone, so you guys can stop crying. 600,000 a week. He played well. He's played well the last few games.
Yep.
But, you know, one swallow doesn't make a summer. He gets paid an awful amount of money. I have to tell you, I do like the central midfielder. Højbjerg was a tremendous signing from South Africa. Yeah, a super player. And Ndombele, I thought was unlucky last year because he caught the Dele Alli Mourinho curse, which is he gets pissed off with him and he benches him for half a season. He's having a fantastic game and he takes him off after 70 minutes. So, and even against Burnley, I thought Lucas Moura played well. So they've got, I mean, that technically, that front six can cause you damage. I mean, against Burnley, they played with Bale, Lucas and Son and Kane in front with Højbjerg and Ndombele behind him. Those are the six. They're all very, very good players. Where I think their Achilles heel is I'm not. Aurier is a nanosecond away from a red card.
Okay.
Because he's volatile. I'm not, still not convinced about Reguilón. And Lloris for me is slightly overrated. He's an international goalkeeper for France. Don't get me wrong. I don't think he's brilliant on crosses. I don't think he's great with the communication at the back. I think there's a weakness there. If we get past the central two, where we can cause some problems, if we overload the wings, I think we can have some fun with them.
Okay. What are your thoughts from this from Daniel Conrath? Kane and Son are effectively their only threats. The rest of the club isn't any better than FFC.
Daniel's point is a good one. I certainly wouldn't. I mean, Bale had an excellent game against Burnley. That first one was a that first goal was a disaster because the Burnley back four completely stopped, which is
Chris's Bale he plays is a key player.
Yeah, Bale is a key. You've got to watch him because he started out on the left, then he drifted to the right, then he started coming in the middle. So they've given him a bit of a utility role. Lucas Moura, I don't underestimate him. I think he's a good player, and that's why a lot of Spuds fans are annoyed at Tottenham, because with all the talent they do have, they should be where Leicester are. Leicester, to me, I watched the game.
I put it down to Mourinho. This goes back to that argument that
Mourinho thing.
Tottenham's supporter came at me because I said I think you have to put some of this on Mourinho.
Yeah, I don't know what Mourinho's status is going to be at the end of the season, because there are a lot of good managers out there that you could get in to come in and do a job. The one job person who's not in a job right now, who I think is going to be the next Palace manager, is Eddie Howe. But in terms of the way he develops players, I think he'd actually be a more than decent fit for Tottenham. It wouldn't be the sexy kind of name that they'd necessarily want.
Right.
But what he did down at AFC Bournemouth was absolutely magnificent. You've seen the effects since he's left. Yep. They're not having their way in the Championship.
No.
The way they'd want. But I mean, it was mentioned. Robin talked about Lucas Moura. He's a good player, underrated. Needs confidence. Player needs goals. But really, it's an insult that they're mid-table. They should be much, much higher.
They've got
a new stadium. They've spent a lot of money. Getting Bale, I thought, was a massive risk for someone who basically hasn't played for the last 2 years. And I think Tottenham fans often are deluded because they seem to think they've got this raison d'être to be, you know, they're a big club because they've got a big stadium, a big following, a bit like Newcastle. And it's not, it doesn't work like that. Just because you've got more fans than anyone, that you have to be a big club. And then you laugh at clubs like ours and Palace and I don't know, say a Bournemouth or a Sheffield United. No, that's not the way it works.
No, nope.
And you've had the best of everything. You've got a lovely stadium, but you play crap football and you're in mid-table. And unless they win something this year, I'm sorry, this season's been a failure for them. And considering what the changes we've had to make,
yep,
we've done okay.
Absolutely. And, for me, it starts right at the top. It starts at Daniel Levy. His decision to bring in Mourinho and the way that he's run that club, you can look at it two ways. You could say it starts at the top. They get to a certain point. Now he wants to win trophies, so he brings in Mourinho. But I don't know. There's a lot of blame to go when it comes there. But, again, you can call yourself a big club. But at some point, Giannis, I think you should – if you want to be a big club, shouldn't you win something? And they haven't.
No, they haven't. They haven't. Like Man United, the last few years, semi-finals.
I have a lot of respect for a lot of these players. I do. I think there's a lot of talent on the side. I've liked them over the years, watching the way that they play. But something just has never really taken them to that next level to be, like you said, a team that wins trophies. When they win trophies, I guess maybe then you can have that moniker as a really big club. But, so you do, and they're chasing it. I think that's the reason why Mourinho was brought on. But when you look at them, I look at the coach, the players, but I also look at who runs the ship. And Daniel Levy runs the ship. And, you can have your own view on him. But again, with him owning the club, they have a beautiful stadium. They have talented teams. They haven't won anything. That's the bottom line.
Hey, we've won more than them in the last 2 years. We won two championship playoff games.
Okay.
So, I know we had to get relegated to do it, but you know what? We're just a humble little club born in 1879. That's what we do. We're Fulham St. Andrews. That's what we do. And no bells, no whistles. We're a family club. And this arrogance, I go back to Clinton Dempsey and the mess there.
Get me started.
Moussa Dembélé, Ryan Sessegnon.
See, I have this thing about Spurs that involves those three players. And, and again, in the case of Moussa Dembele, he's worked out. But again, they were hard on him. They were hard on all three of these players. I'm talking about the reaction from the Tottenham supporters. So I guess I have some issues on my end because these are three players that, again, were so good for Fulham. And they were given a pretty hard ride. And Ryan Sessegnon, last season, given a hard ride there. They didn't get behind. I didn't feel that they got behind him. I think that they really went after him. Again, every little thing that he did, I saw it with Dempsey. I even saw a little bit with Dembele in the beginning. And I thought that this was not the right place for Ryan Sessegnon. And we'll see what happens. We'll see what happens. But like I said, I have a lot of respect for the players that are out there. But, again, when it comes to Spurs, I have this issue and it involves a lot of the Fulham players, but I do want to share this because this goes to my point. Spurs have definitely underachieved this season. Yeah. I think you would agree with me on that.
Oh God. Yes, absolutely. All that talent, all that money, all the wages, all the things. I mean, it's funny. If you ask Chelsea fans who they hate the most, they may say Spurs.
Yeah.
But Arsenal would be Spurs too. Now, of course, we don't like. But I actually think I dislike. I think I despise Spurs more than Chelsea. I can't remember. No, seriously. It's just the whole way the club is operated, and there's this abject level of arrogance.
Yeah.
And it's like, shut up.
I've said it to you for me growing up in Boston. It's like being a New York Yankees fan. The way that Patriots fans, the way that Red Sox fans had to deal with Yankees fans. And that's also part of the reason why when people call me a Yank, it drives me crazy, by the way. It's if you really want to get underneath my skin, call me a Yank. And I'm sure someone will do that. But it comes to that arrogance that the Yankees fans have, and the Spurs fans have it too. You know, listen, I know some great Spurs fans, so I just want to mention it's not everyone, but I'm just telling you that it also deals for me a lot to do with the Fulham players that went to Spurs. And I thought that they were given a tough ride. All three of the ones that we talked about were given a tough ride by the Spurs supporters. That's fact. They were given a tough ride. Anyways, enough talking about that. Unfortunately, we're going to go here now. I'm going to put you in the shoes of Mourinho. How does Spurs win this match?
Come out fast and early. I mean, it's that simple. If you're going to do your, I'm going to park the number three bus going to Brixton, and you're going to sit there and say, well, and let us come at them, that's fine. The only thing is, of course, that Scotty's, you know, we saw in the Battle of the Foxes on Sunday, he did win the battle over the sly old fox. We didn't get 3 points, but he did win the battle.
Yep.
So Scotty will just, he'll take what they give us, and he will set them up. These boys will be pumped.
Okay. Okay.
Excuse me. So he'll be pumped. They will be ready for this, because there is a little bit of needle between the two sides.
Yep.
And don't discount this, the COVID rubbish.
I think there's a little bad blood there, Giannis.
There's a bit of bad blood there. And I'm curious to see what our lineup's going to look like, because I hope the boots are flying. I mean, I hope Harrison has one of those. I'd really like to see Harrison really clatter Bale in the first couple of minutes.
Okay.
You know, just to set, because you set the tone, right?
Set the tone.
You set the tone that we're going to come at you, and you can come with all your fancy little players, but we're our form has been very good, and we're going to respect you, but we're not going to lay down and die.
Okay. Because I'm curious, you know, and again, you're Parker. What is going to be your strategy? I want to share this with you because, again, this is actually an interesting comment that I just saw. This is from our friend Robin Pendrell. So I'm going to ask you, as Parker, would you press? Because Robin Pendrell says, I hope we don't press them like Burnley did.
No, I wouldn't. But to be fair to Burnley, that's the first time I've seen them come out as cold as a freezer. They came out very cold. And in the first 15 minutes, they were done. And I'm sure Sean Dyche would have been very disappointed, because they're so disciplined at the back and midfield dropping. And I mean, his philosophy about defending from the front, I mean, I was even watching today the sort of work that, you know, Vidra, yes, I'm mentioning Vidra, and even Chris Wood do up front in terms of dropping back to help everybody out. They work harder than
they do
every other team. And they just had that first goal, that Bale goal, killed them. They were looking at each other. And I've got the huge amount of respect for, you know, me and Tarkowski and Pope. And it just, the whole thing felt flat. And it was one of those rare games where you start, and before you know it, you're down two or three, and the game's over.
Okay, so what would be your strategy, Giannis? I know we're just talking about what should Scotty do tomorrow.
I say
as we're recording this on Wednesday.
I say play their game, play Tom and Jerry. Take what you give them, play your game, knock it around the back, get lots of touches on the ball nice and early. See how they're going to draw. See if you can pull them out and see if you can get behind behind Ndombele. I think Ndombele and Højbjerg are going to be critical, and keep an eye on Bale. I mean, one of the things Parker would have
Do you think winning the central midfield battle is key here?
Yeah, I do. And I think that Harrison Reed's going to be the key to that as well, I think.
Okay.
I think Mourinho will be leery of Loftus-Cheek. I mean, I saw, you know, comments and thing about, oh, when Kearney comes back, Loftus-Cheek goes, no. Because if you put Kearney in the lineup, someone like Mourinho will laugh at him. But if you put Loftus-Cheek, he'll be like, oh, what's he going to do now? It's that expectation of what comes next.
Yep.
And whether we like it or not, Scotty today in the presser, when asked about injuries, did say that, quote, TC's struggling a bit at the moment.
He did.
And that means it could be one of three things. It could be, number one, he's having a recurrence of his knee problem. Number two, he's having a problem in terms of the fitness. Or number three, it could be a combination of both. I think it's number one. So I think we're not going to see him until at least after the international break. So whether fans like it or not, Loftus-Cheek is in there. And yep. while he's in there, he has that air unpredictability where he can create something out of nothing. And, you know, unless fans have a better alternative about who we can bring in.
No, I think he's spot, I think he's the best you know. Situation right now. And I've said this and we've talked about this before. I want to see what happens after he scores a goal. Because I think the floodgates open if he scores a goal. But we'll see. You know, I just think that's the one thing he's truly missing. And he's a polarizing topic. Whenever anyone brings up Ruben Loftus-Cheek, you get different commentary on it. You know, I just did a show with Mike, and Mike had some very interesting commentary about how fans view Ruben Loftus-Cheek positively and negatively. And he's polarizing. But I think he can change that with his play on the pitch. If he is active and he starts scoring goals, I think that there'll be a different perception of Ruben Loftus-Cheek.
Yeah, and I wonder.
That's the
I wonder
way I'm how, looking at it.
And I wonder how many fans out there have conveniently forgotten what it was like to have Berbatov. I mean, yeah. You know, Berbatov at the end, okay, there were some issues. But when he was on his song, oh man. Like, you pay big bucks to watch players like that because you don't know what they're going to produce.
And it's the goal against Stoke City.
Oh, my good God in heaven. What a volley that was. And he's just even the way he took penalties, just impudence, not the half hop like a stunted rabbit.
You know,
go up and just stroll it into the corner. He was brilliant. And I'm a big fan. I love the chick. I wish he had more heart, but I love his talent. I love, yeah. Yep. And, you know, he's, yes, he's polarizing, but I've always liked him. I'm an old school guy, and I do like players that can bring a little bit of panache and, you know, joie de vivre. That's why I was a big Brian Ruiz fan. Brian Ruiz,
talk about another polarizing player.
He was, but man, he could. I mean, he scored goals
on his day. On his day when he was on, when he was on. But unfortunately, there weren't enough of those days, Giannis. And I think you'll agree with that. Okay, all right. This to me is going to be really what I want to know from you, because the starting 11, but especially the formation, because when I look at this, I think this goes back to what will Parker do? Giannis, against the big sides, he has played three at the back. Will he do it at Craven Cottage? Will he do it again? Or will he continue with playing a flat back four, which I think has worked well? Will he do it? Which formation do you think he's going to go with? What formation would you go with? And what starting 11 would you go with? This is actually a very interesting topic right now. Starting 11 formation, go.
I have made copious notes to predict both lineups. So I'm going to start with Fulham, of course. Alphonse the man starts for me.
Okay.
I think we go 4-2-3-1. I think we
okay, I actually predicted 4-2-3-1 on another show.
4-2-3-1. We go with okay. Tete at right, Ola at left.
Chris is agreeing with 4-2-3-1. Okay.
Big Joachim and Tosin in the middle.
Okay.
Big Boy Harris in the middle with Big Zambo, Big Frank. And up front, I go Dekodover, Reed, Loftus-Cheek, and Lookman with Madja up front. I still pick Madja, but that's the one I'm hedging. Funny enough, that's the one I'm hedging on. That's okay. The one I'm hedging on because I'm wondering if he could start with Mitro. I'm going to say no.
Okay.
But Mitro is now an option off the bench. The 4-2-3-1 works. I think it's going to – you got the workmanship in the middle. I think defensively we're pretty solid.
Okay.
And up front we're going to give them – we should give them some problems with mobility.
Okay. So you would not start Mitro?
No, I wouldn't. No, I wouldn't. And to me, I will admit, it's a 51-49 for me. It's very split, but I think let's give him a run up at Anfield, which I think is actually a more winnable game than tomorrow. I think we're going to cause problems up there. I really do.
Okay, well, I think we're going to cause problems, but I'll give you my prediction in a second. But Giannis, let's go to your prediction. And if anyone's watching live, we have some people watching live. Feel free to share your prediction in the comment section. Give it to me, Giannis.
0-0.
Oh man, another 0-0, Giannis. You're going nil-nil?
I know.
And what's scary is that you've been pretty spot on a lot of these predictions. So okay, so you're going nil-nil.
Yeah, I'm gonna go nil-nil, but I think we're gonna ask a lot of questions. And this is the game where I think I'd be pleased with the draw, because I think Liverpool on Sunday is a more winnable game for me. I really think we can win up at Anfield. I really do. If we can hold it first 10, 15 minutes, I think we're going to make it tight. I think they'll start to panic. I think that Mourinho may make a tactical change. I'm going to predict that Ndombele won't start tomorrow. I think he'll start with Dele Alli in the middle. And Alli has played well. And I think he'd look to rotate that squad slightly. And I think that that's going to be my prediction, that Alli comes in for Ndombele.
Okay. Well, here are the predictions coming in, so I'm going to share some of them. And a lot of them are predicting Spurs. We got my friend Chris, Spurs win 1-0. They're coming pretty fast, so I'll try to keep up with
Liverpool
some of these.
Liverpool 3 win 3-0. That's not
1-0 to Spurs. Let's see what we got here. 2-1 Fulham. Let's see what we got here. Let's see. Kamal's going 1-1 or 2-1 in our favor. I think we have a point to prove yet again. I agree with that. I definitely think we have a point to prove, and that's going to go to my prediction. This goes back to what you said before. I think there is a little bit of bad blood here, Giannis. I agree with that. But I think that Scott Parker is going to learn the lessons from the first time we played. I think he'll be ready for this team. He knows this team very well. He does. He knows this team very well. I think it's also a little bit personal there. So I'm going to say, and I've already predicted it, so this isn't going to be a shock. I'm going 2-1 to Fulham. Robin, I'm going with you. I'm going 2-1 to Fulham. I think Fulham are going to do it, Giannis. I really do. And I know all the talent that Spurs have. I respect it. I respect Spurs. I do. I just think Fulham are going to win this. I just have a feeling that they're going to get through the first half. I think they're going to be cagey in the first half. And I think you're going to see something similar to the first time, but I think they're going to score 2 goals this time. I'm going 2-1 to Fulham.
Well, I will predict, and a message for the Spurs fans, that if the game finishes 0-0, that means the halftime score was 0-0. Just so they know.
Okay.
In case they haven't figured it. I mean, I'm just helping them, Russ.
I got it.
On the way, you know.
Okay, my friend. Listen, to end the show, and I mentioned this, one of our regular listeners, and he's on Twitter, he messaged me, and he had a couple questions because he's a big fan of Giannis, so I wanted to share this. So here we go. First of all, this is from our friend Denim FFC on Twitter. Is Fulham's mini revival defense, young manager, new stand, potentially the beginning of a new era for us if we stay up, of course? My answer is yes. Giannis, to you.
Yes, absolutely, except for one thing. We need a director of football.
Okay.
Something that happened today in the press, Russell, I thought, and I actually felt sad after it.
Go ahead.
Scotty was asked, you know, how do you feel about the fact that this squad could be ripped apart at the end of this?
I know.
The season. Because you've got a lot of loanies. And you could see the lament. And he said, yeah, well, we may have to have a clean slate. And I suddenly thought, if you look at this lineup right now and what great things that we've done, it actually saddens me to think that a lot of these players may not be here, because we've really now identified them as a really big team. And it's suddenly hit hard.
It would be very sad if this team is broken up like that.
It would.
I couldn't agree more.
Yeah, because we
I've been thinking about it a great deal. That would sadden me.
It would, because you're
looking, I really like this team.
I do too. And so that means no Areola, no Anderson, no Tete, no Lamina, no Maja, no Lookman.
Giannis, my first order of business, if they do survive, is you sign as many of these guys as possible. And I start with Anderson and Areola. That's where I start. You know, and I know that they don't have an option on Anderson. I do everything I can to get Anderson
to get him in to
make a deal. Because, again, it's a situation that you're under. I understand where you're going on this. But it's actually a very sad thing to think about, because I think, you know, again, I predict Fulham are going to survive. And if they do, that's what I'm doing. I'm going after Anderson and Ariel. Those are my first orders of business. I look at all of them. You know, I want to bring the band back together again. I try to get as many as I can.
Yeah.
But
Absolutely. I think we become a very tough team next year.
And then, and then what you do, you build from that point. You do what, I hate to say what Aston Villa did. You just survive and you build on that, but you have to bring back a lot of these players. So I agree with you, my friend. If for some reason we do stay up, and I hope that we do, and I'm predicting that they do, I think you can really do some damage of pushing forward and being in this Premier League for a long time. But a lot of work has to be done. I agree with that. Here's the second of his topics. There is Parker the most underrated manager in the league. What are your thoughts on that?
It's a great question. It's funny, we were talking about this in the house. I mean, Sean Dyche has done a brilliant job at Burnley.
But does Parker get enough credit? I'm curious.
No, he doesn't. And I'd say arguably he's the most likable manager in the division. The one thing that I love about him is you hear him in the press and he presses and he talks about, you know, looking at the other teams around. He says, I don't care. We control our mechanism.
That's right. But
you hear the same players. You hear the same messages from the players.
That's right.
They're not concerned about. Well, I think other results. I think Parker said, well, what happens if I go to bed and I'm relying on this team to win, and then I know that I've got to win tomorrow, you know, then I lose light sleep. And so attitude reflects leadership, and the attitude is reflected from the leadership. He's somebody who struck me as an extremely thoughtful manager.
Yep.
Very, very low key, but someone who works, who does have an edge. We've seen that.
Yep.
But someone who trusts his players and is very quick to show that. And you know, the one thing, I think back to the Lookman penalty against West Ham, because as upset as he was, and I mean, everybody was upset, afterwards, his response was, the lad made a mistake and he won't be doing that again, and we move on, we learn from that. And I thought that was, that is the sort of comment you'd expect from a Pep or a Klopp. He's going to go on to bigger and better things and great. He's going to go on to great things. I think if we get relegated, we stick with him. I think that at some point something has to break, because Daddy Khan is going to look at this and go, well, look at how much success we had, but we got so many loans in so late. And by then we were 0-5. Just give us one of those. Honestly, Arsenal I can live with. Leeds, Palace, we were terrible. Villa, we were worse. We can beat Villa now. Look how far we've come. Somebody has to say, look, why did this happen?
Okay.
This shouldn't have happened.
Well, so here are my thoughts on this. You know, and again, listen, you can give praise and you can give criticism for everything that's been done. It's all fair game. In that position, Tony deserves criticism when it's needed, and you know, and again, but on the flip side, you know, you could say, you know, he deserves praise for some of the players that have come in as well. So I understand both sides of it, but I will say this, and you're going to agree with me on this, because I was actually talking to someone about this today, my friend Steve Reynolds in Spain. I said this to him: what is going on now? One of the reasons why Fulham have gone the loan route is we are paying the dues for two seasons ago, paying £100 million. We are now paying it because this has to do with financial fair play. And the mistakes of two seasons ago, we're not these other clubs that can afford to make these big mistakes, Giannis. We're talking Sarri. Now, again, I wanted them to bring in Sarri, but of the money that you spent, we are now seeing the other side of it. That's why you're seeing all the loans. It really started two seasons ago. So the mistakes of two seasons ago have shown up now. That's why these are all loans. Would you agree with me?
Absolutely. And what I really like about how Scotty has done this is he's built up his portfolio and he's built up a social and reputational capital. So if you look at someone like Frank Lampard, was at Derby and we know what happened to him. He came to Chelsea, but he didn't build anything in terms of, you know, anything from the bottom up. He did okay with the young players last year, but we know what happened this year. If you look at even someone like Stevie Gerrard up at Rangers,
Yep.
And they're going to win the league, and they're probably going to go unbeaten. Mind you, it is Scottish Premier League, but he's done brilliant stuff there. Don't get me wrong. But I believe that the job that Scotty has done is better than the one Stevie G has done. And Stevie's done a magnificent job. The last 16 of the Europa League. I mean, Celtic were going for 10 in a row. Neil Lennon's gone, blah, 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 blah. But what Scotty has done to build from the rubble of earlier this season, or really from 2 years ago. Last game of the season was Newcastle United. We lost 4-0 at home. First game of the following season was Barnsley away. By the way, don't look now. Barnsley is sixth in the championship. That's an unbelievable story altogether. But he had to rebuild that and go through all the trials and tribulations. Plus, you had the COVID to get us to Wembley to play a team we weren't supposed to get anything off to do.
He's underrated.
Underrated. To come here and have literally no players, having Tim Ream and Hector at the back. Well, we know the back four. Okay, right. Yeah. And then to take the rubble to go where we are now, where everybody's talking about the recent upsurge in Fulham. Yep. Fulham's form, Fulham's defensive play, Fulham's discipline, Fulham's attention to detail, Scotty Parker, this stuff.
Yep.
And on a budget where he can't even get players in is magnificent. And he's done it.
And again, you know, when I look at this, and I'm glad that we're talking about Parker, but we're also talking about Tony as well. And like I said, in one way, I want to give Tony credit for getting these players in, because again, these players I think have been the right players, but he was forced to do this on loan from prior mistakes. And you know, it's like that catch 22, because we have to hope that Fulham stay in this division to hopefully, like I said, maybe bring this band back together again. This is how they had to do it. I do like the moves. I do like some of these moves. I do like getting Robinson for low money. I do like getting Tosin for very low money. Okay, so some of the moves I do like, but I have to think about it. I thought about it. I'm like, why were we in this situation? Why were we forced to do all these loans? And it goes back to, you know, the money that has been paid out before. It goes back to financial fair play. And if there's one thing I want to, you know, and again, I understand why everyone criticizes Tony. I've criticized him, but I want to give him credit for one thing. And if you want to come at me for this, that's fine. Actually, in a video, Tony admitted he made mistakes two seasons ago. Okay? He did admit it. So I do want, you know, I do want to mention that. But these were mistakes that I think Fulham are paying for.
Yeah, and the only thing that, of course, is that, you know, weekly we get bombarded on Twitter and other social media platforms with Tony standing with his AEW. You know what I'm going to say, right? I mean, it's just horrendous.
Giannis, I'll say it again. I will say this for the 100th time. Tony has a Twitter account. Tony should not be tweeting about Fulham. If he wants to tweet about AEW, if I'm in charge, I'm saying take him off of Twitter. I've already said for altogether, but he is promoting his wrestling. It does not look good. I'll be the first to say it. I would say just get off Twitter, but that's just how I am. I said just get off Twitter.
No, well, I mean,
get off social media. Just get off social media altogether, because you're not doing yourself any favors by tweeting about AEW. You're not doing yourself any favors.
We don't care, nor do the Jacksonville Jaguars fans care.
Same thing. They don't care either. They don't care about Fulham. You know. Well, I shouldn't say that, because there are a lot of Jaguars fans that actually, believe it or not, have become Fulham fans. That's not true. That, you know, there are some Jaguar fans that actually have become Fulham fans. So that's not true. I'll take that one back. But I understand what you're saying. And, I just wish he would get off Twitter. I think he'd be better for it. But that's just me.
I agree. And it's, if you've, any of you out there watched any of his videos, it's absolutely silly. It's daft. You know, it's as daft as saying Mr. Potato Head.
Oh, let's not go there.
I mean, really. I mean, and it's like, I know. Okay, you're in charge of AEW. Okay, and that's doing well. I get it.
Yes.
Jacksonville Jaguars are really struggling as a franchise right now, and they've now going to have the number one pick. Brilliant, da 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 da. And you've got Fulham in the toughest league in the world. Okay, he should just stick to what he does. I know Jamie Carragher, I'm not a fan of, but he said, you know what, You saw what happened 2 years ago, Sarah, you mentioned. Just do your job, stay in the weeds. We've been begging for a striker for months and months and months.
Yep.
And, you know, and we're diehard fans and we want our club.
Yeah, I know. And in all seriousness, and listen, and I'll say it for the 100th time, because some people think that I'm some kind of sympathizer for Tony, and that's just not true. I mean, I call it the way I see it. If he does something wrong, I say it. If he does something right, I say it. That's just, I call it the way I see it. I if there's something positive, I'll say something positive. Something negative, we're going to talk about it. That's just the way I am, you know. But, you know, and I'll just say it again. I've said it 100 times. I've said it on this show. Tony, my advice to you, just get off Twitter altogether. That's it. That's just, you know. I think you'd be better for it. You know, just get off Twitter. Anyways, we finished going off on this little rant, but let's wrap this up, my friend. Let's wrap this up. For Yanis Shenaz, Russ Coleman, thank you as always for watching and listening to Cottage Talk.
It's the 90th minute, and all to play for at the end of the match. All your mates are around. You've got your McDonald's share boxes ready to go. Your mates already got booked for double dipping, and you steal the last nugget, snatching all 3 points. Perfect. Order McDelivery now on the McDonald's app. Are you in? I know I'm in. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee, and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network.
TalkSport. Powered by fans.